So you couldn't get anything?
No, well, they couldn't get work or you know, it was very, very hard. And they couldn't get the dole because they were living at home. Mm-hmm. And they just sort of existed on what their parents could give them. And to go to a dance, you'd save up your pennies.
Mm.
To get, I think the boys had to pay 1 and 6 to get into the dance, and the ladies paid a shilling, but the ladies used to take a plate of supper, like, you know, mm-hmm. a plate of cake or a plate of sandwiches, and the supper was served, like, handed round, and so you got a cup of tea and whatever mm-hmm. type of thing. And that was our main entertainment of a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, we formed a sort of a younger set. And this is where we all sort of learnt to dance and it was an outing. Mm-hmm. That was on a Tuesday night. We sort of taught a lot of the boys to dance.
Was this connected with a church group or anything, or just people in the area?
No, just the Advancement Club built the Mount Druitt Hall, and I don't think we even paid anything for the use of the hall that night. And some kind lady would play the piano, and this is how we all sort of learnt to dance and was part of our entertainment, which was just done through a group of friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of cost you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a raffle of probably a little tiny small box of chocolates and this would, you know, help to run things and that. But other than that, there was, you could get to the pictures at Penrith, the chappie with the, Mr. Cook with the taxi thing. He would take you up to Penrith and bring you home from the pictures, but then 9 times out of 10, you couldn't afford to go to the pictures.
Mm.
So you sort of stayed home and either made your own fun in all your neighbours and teenagers and sort of get together and just go to somebody's house and you know, have a sing-along and this sort of thing. And there was, you know, but we never ever seemed to sort of get into any trouble.
Mm.
Mm. You know, it was just... I don't know, we didn't think about it. Didn't think about trouble or being destructive, mm. you know.
And what about when your son was growing up? Did he go to the local school, the same one that you went to?
Yes. There's Cliff's father went to it. Cliff went to it. I went to it. And Lawrence went to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole... As a matter of fact, Cliff's father went to the school that started down in Simpson Hill Road, which was a slab, I suppose you'd call it a shed or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moved from there into what used to be Collerton Post Office. Then from there it came up to the Collerton... Headmaster's cottage, which was 2 rooms on one side, that was like specially made for the 2 schoolrooms,
mm-hmm.
and then eventually it got into a school being built, but still only 2 rooms.
Mm. So, what, even when your son went there, it was still only 2 rooms.
Well, they had, by the time Lawrence had got there, they had built an extra small room sort of thing. Mm. So they had three rooms.
Still would have been very fairly small.
Oh, school. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, it was sort of thing. But now it's...
And did he walk to school too?
No, at first, because we were living up in Blenheim Avenue, and he had to cross the railway line. The then local taxi driver, Mr. Swords, used to pick up about five children from our street and take them to school and pick them up of an afternoon. And that used to cost us 3 and 6 pence a week. And
it was a good service.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And then and when he was about 8, he got a push bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used to ride his bike to school.
Was there a level crossing at the railway?
No, there were still gates.
Gates.
Gates, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to St. Mary's High School. By this time, there was a high school built at St. Mary's. So he went on to St. Mary's High School, and that's where he did his...
Intermediate
in mm-hmm. those days, that's yeah. right. And then when he finished, when he passed that, he went to Goodwin's, which was in the industrial area at St. Mary's, mm-hmm. and did his trade in boiler making. He had to travel to Granville one day a week to go to Tech.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Mount Druitt Tech or anything. And so that's how it had changed that much from, like, his father to him.
Yes, this would have been in the 50s, I suppose.
Yes, well, he was 15, so it would have been, close on the 60s.
Mm. And there was still no tech at Mount Druitt.
There's still no tech at Mount Druitt, no.
And by that time, how had the area changed? Had it built up very much with houses or shops?
Well, not a great deal. I think 1964, if I can remember rightly, was the beginning of the Housing Commission.
Right.
I think that's when they turned the first sod.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, certain of that, but it was approximately that around that time. So of course then after that got on the way, the shopping centre started to sort of move, and then of course we thought we were very lucky here. We were close to the old station, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, then they shifted the station up to the shopping centre area, which we were all a bit mad about. But I suppose that's progress, and you have to put up with it. But that's how things have changed, and it is gradually grown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his daughter. Lawrence's
Your son's daughter?
Yes, my granddaughter. They have bought a home out at Oakhurst. That's out towards Plumpton way, yes.
Mm.
So that's how things... Lawrence has a home down here in Caron Place. Now, there was no homes here, barring my original home.
Mm-hmm. Which is next door.
Which is next door,
right.
Yes. Until after the war, a builder by the name of Thomas started to build the houses across the road as, like, war service houses.
Oh, yes.
And this is when... things started to grow here.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel about that?
Oh, well, I don't know. We still say the the good old days when you could walk out of your house and leave the front door wide open and your neighbour could walk in and make themselves a cup of tea and that sort of thing. But then again, we didn't have... Like, we knew everybody. You'd go onto the station, oh, hello, Tom, hello, Dick, you know, sort of thing. And you'd know everybody that was around. And you had no thought of anybody robbing you or breaking in. If anybody wanted something, they'd say, oh, can I borrow this? Or have you got a cup of sugar or you can lend me till I go to the shop? Or, you know, it was... just an absolutely different atmosphere altogether. But then we didn't have a mixed community either.
Now, after the war, that changed
That changed too, yes.
Now, when you say mixed community, do you mean migrants?
Yes, yes. See, we had a few Aboriginals or part Aboriginal people around. Mostly towards Plumpton, but they were decent living people. You know, they used to come to the dances and all that sort of thing. Oh. And they just were part of the community. So
did you notice a difference when the European migrants started to come to live here?
Well, like everything else, like even Australians, there's good and bad in everybody sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of, now we have, mostly in the street is migrants.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But we have them over the back. But we find that we have no trouble with them. You know, they're always quite pleasant and you know, we always say, hi, how you going sort of thing, and they don't worry us, we don't worry them. But, you know, it's...
Have you got to know any of them as good neighbours, you know, made friends of any of them? Or?
Oh, well, as I say, the people over the road, they've been there all... Oh, quite a long while. I mean, their kiddies were only little when they came there, and they're growing up and got little ones of their own now.
Mm.
And, you know, we don't visit them and they don't visit us.
No.
But if they're outside, we always, you know, have a chat or say hello or how are you going sort of thing.
What nationalities live around here mostly?
Oh.
Do you know?
No.
No,
I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really know.
Mm-hmm. But they're from Europe usually? Or
yes, mostly, yes.
Oh.
Yes. The chap that was in the house directly across the road, they were German.
Mm-hmm.
We made quite good friends with them, but they've both passed on now.
Mm-hmm.
And but we used to go over and have, go over every Christmas and, you know, couple of nights before Christmas and have a night with them and that sort of thing. My father helped the people out the back, Mr. Kurdiak sort of thing. When they came here, they couldn't speak English. They didn't understand, you know, they would get papers or things and they'd just look at them and sort of shrug and then they didn't know what they were all about. So they'd come over to Dad and they'd say, you explain please, or you know, things like that, and they helped them as best they could.
Yes.
You know, now of course they've learnt,
they have things printed in various languages.
Yes,
now to help.
Yes, they do, yes. But Peter and them, you know, they are quite good now. They understand. You can say to them, oh, well, you've got to do this or you've got to do that, or, you know, and they understand. But when, of course, it's just like us going to Germany. How would we cope with that sort of thing, you know? But
And what about, how did you feel about the
the landscape changing, you know, more trees disappearing and the countryside becoming built on. Did that worry you or not?
Well, the one reason we built down here was where we were up in Burnham Avenue, they turned it into a high-rise area sort of thing, and we thought, oh, we're going to be stuck between some high blocks of flats, you know, looking down on our little old place sort of thing. So we decided, right, get out.
Mm-hmm.
So this, my brother having two blocks of land here, this was getting a bit much for him, going to work and trying to do the garden and everything. So he sold us this block, and this is how we come to build down here. But, yes, it's, I suppose we feel a little bit sorry. There's, but then people have to have somewhere to live, don't they?
Mm-hmm. And but did you feel at all when the place was, when you were the only house in the street and that sort of thing, did you ever feel isolated?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. There was another big old home, sort of, across the paddock
mm-hmm.
type of thing, and we were quite friendly with them. They had cows and they used to give us milk and they had some chooks and we'd buy our eggs from them sort of thing in those days. And, you know, we were all, they used to come over and have a game of cards at the night time and I don't know, you never ever seemed to feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it was because you sort of knew everybody around about, even if you were a long way apart.
Yes.
But
and with the closer neighbours, I don't suppose you know as many of them.
No.
As in the old days.
No, you don't. You don't sort of get to know them like you did in the older times, because now there is sort of so much entertainment and everything that you're not looking to your neighbours for company.
Mm.
Where years gone by, you know, you'd look for your neighbours for company. We would, there was another friend had a lorry and he used to deliver food, you know, to the poultry farmers sort of thing. And he'd get his truck and off we'd go for a picnic for the day, you know, four or five or half a dozen families. But as far as we'd go would be out to Stony Crossing, which is about, what, 7 or 8 miles out, sort of that away. And, oh, you'd have a great day, you know. Everybody would bring their food along and you'd put it all in together and you'd have a great day, sort of thing. But, see, you can't do those things now. There's no bush to